Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about things being lost in translation. When you have that cool idea that's come to you in a really strange roundabout way, and then you want to get it out. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's at any point. We've talked on this topic a bit, but I think it's time to bring it back a little. I've had a few experiences I wanted to share. And for new listeners, this is always such a valuable topic about getting your thoughts muddled and why it happens. So let's dive into it. Okay, let's dive into this episode. So this episode's really going to be a flowing one. It's going to be taking all the ideas that are running through my head and sharing them with you. So I hope that's okay. Now, just before I dive in, I wanted to thank the people who have come back to me on the bingo board to-do list kind of concept from the last episode and the visual I put in the group. That is, I've been amazed at the feedback and how many people have told me how valuable that's going to be in their life. And it actually makes them interested to do a to-do list, which is amazing. It really reminds me of the small things that, you know, the small hinges that swing big doors in people's lives. And I think that's so important, is that even if you only get one small thing out of a podcast or from my stream of consciousness, you know, that small hinge could make a massive impact. You know, that butterfly wing can make a massive change. So that's really awesome to hear. And thank you for all that feedback. What I wanted to jump into today, really, as I mentioned in the intro, is really looking at struggling to get things out of your head, especially in a conscious, clear way. And I wanted to share some things that have worked for me and also some challenges that have popped up and instances where problems are occurring, right? So I've, you know, someone said it well to me the other day. They said the lineal person sees 1 plus 1 is equaling 2. The neurodiverse or the nonlinear person sees 1 plus 1 equaling 6. You know, if your goal is to have a higher number, we do really well at it. But if you're going to judge someone on how they got to that higher number, we're probably going to be judged more than anyone else because we don't know how we've made 1 plus 1 equal 6 and made it work, but it somehow worked, if that makes any sense. And so getting that information out or explaining how we did that calculation to get the higher number is the bit we really struggle with. And, you know, what I'm always amazed of, I've been watching myself. I did a talk today at kind of a university or a college over here to a bunch of students. I think there's about 40 or 50 in the room. And, you know, although a lot of my talk I thought went really well, there were definitely times where I tried to get across a point. And, you know, I doubled up on what I was saying. I said it two or three times in a different way. And, you know, there were times where I used to know that I'd get frustrated as I'm standing in front of the room talking. I'd get frustrated with how my brain was not processing the information. It was processing it quickly, but not in a verbal way that made sense, or it muddled it the way I said it. And I know it's interesting. The old me, you know, would have beaten myself up a bit for that. Why didn't you prepare more? Why didn't you practice more? But the current me just was like, nah, it's okay. You know, the kids will get something out of it. They'll pull something out of your talk. You know, even stuff that you don't realize is important. And, you know, they'll, you know, remembering that people around you, when you're sharing an idea, especially if you're teaching or training or helping someone, everyone will take something different based on their own experiences, their perspective, and what they need. And, you know, what I found really interesting, so I'm doing this talk to this college, and I get to the back of the room afterwards. I do a workshop so people are practicing something. And I get to the back of the room and I ask someone what they got out of it. And what this girl got out of it was actually how I did my slides. I do very visual slides with just one little bit of text. And they're really designed just to trigger a story or trigger something out of me. The goal is not to sit there and read word-heavy slides. As you can imagine, that doesn't work for me. And what she said she got out the most of it was she really loved how I did my slides. She said that was so easy to read. She hadn't seen it done that way before. It was really engaging. And she's going to use that in her presentations in the future. And I was like, wow, that wasn't at all what my presentation was on, but that is what she needed. And I think so much, you know, what that kind of brought to me was so often we're trying to share some advice or tell people what to do or tell people what we believe they should do or what we think or our opinions. And we want them to take it all on, all 100% of it, instead of just putting it out into the ether or to the, you know, the space between two things and letting someone else decide what they need. Sometimes they'll need nothing from what you say. Sometimes they'll take it all, very rarely. And sometimes they'll take something you don't even imagine could come from what you're doing. Like, I didn't imagine someone would tell me my slides were the best thing about my presentation. Well, she didn't say that, but with the one thing that she was most impressed with, shall we say. But it was quite cool at the same point. Like, she took what she needed. And I think that's super important in communication. And being aware that even if we do say things in the wrong way, people are going to still get value out of it in different formats. That's really key. The other thing I noticed in my presentation today, and this is what really brought up this episode, you know, are ways that communication works well. And it really comes down to stories. Use metaphors and stories. You know, I use a story in coaching where it's, you know, if I'm coaching a client, you know, my goal is not to change their environment, change their means, make them richer, make them thinner. No coach can do that, right? We're not here to do your, we're not here to do your life. We're not here to do it. What a coach's job is to change your perspective and update the map that you run your life by. And so, you know, I always use the story. Imagine if you're standing and you're looking at the trunk of a tree and you're so, so close to the trunk of the tree. All you can see is the bark. And in your head, you're like, I need firewood. I need firewood. How can I get firewood? I need an axe. I need something. I need this. I need that. I need this. And you're so focused at the base of the tree and you're thinking of 1,000 different hows of what to do. And I come up and ask, you know, I come up and say, what do you need? And you say, firewood. And I say, take 2 steps backwards, and you do. And right beside that tree trunk is a big pile of firewood, already cut, and has a sign saying free. You know, so my job is not to help you cut that firewood, it's to change your perspective, to see the opportunities that are already existing in your life, to change the way your reticular activating system works, the system that picks out these opportunities and works for you, not against you. So you can kind of tell that story I've just explained made it very clear on what I'm doing. Now, if I tried to tell you that in a bunch of trigger words like that and all these other things, you'd just get bored and tired and blah, blah. You know, me and my mate always used to joke about trigger words like synergistic, optimization, all these words that were kind of like invented, I think, I want to say in the 90s, it feels like in the late 80s, 90s, where they meant nothing. They were just like complete fluff words. You know, natural on food is another one. We think we know what that means, but it doesn't mean that. You know, all these different phrases that actually mean absolute jargon, where a story can be so valuable. So what I really recommend is getting used to being in the story zone and using metaphors and similes. You know, it was like, it was, you know, those are really powerful. The other thing to know as well, and what I'll finish on today, when you're communicating, when you're trying to get your message across to someone, is to understand what their frame of learning is. And you'll get this from neuro-linguistic programming, but some people are feeling speakers. And there's probably a better phrase for this. There's visual, there's kinesthetic, and auditory. And depending how people say things, you can pick up their languaging. And I'd recommend Googling Mike Sweet NLP if you want a bit more on this. He does some really good stuff. He does a little 10-minute podcast. But he talks about it really well, is that if someone's saying, you know, I really feel this way, or this is the way I felt, and they're using feeling or kind of physical words, they're much more a kinesthetic person. So if you start communicating with them using kinesthetic words, like, I understand how you feel, I have felt that way, you're going to connect with them really quickly. Visual people say, I can see it this way, you know, and I've always seen it that way. You know, they'll say seeing words, visual words in their language. You know, different ways people talk is really important to learn. And I've, you know, I found NLP is a huge benefit to me understanding communication at a higher level that fits the way I think. So those are just a few tips and a few ideas. But I know, I guess what I want to finish with is I know how challenging this is for people. My brain still has those moments where I don't think there's a better word than brain fart, where it feels like you just cannot get the words out of your mouth to articulate, you know, where your brain's going. And you can do everything you like in the world to slow yourself down and to meditate and to breathe. Those things all do work and they do help. But in the moment, when your brain doesn't want to remember any of those things, it just feels terrible. But what I'd say to you is you're not alone. Other people have that same challenge. You know, learn to take a deep breath all the time and go, hey, it's just how my brain works. It does a lot of other things super well. And move on. That moment of time is gone and carry on. Keep learning little workarounds that work for you. There are always workarounds, be it post-it notes and other bits and bobs that can help, or you know, getting used to saying, let me come back to you tomorrow. I had a friend who learned that technique and just said when it was something big and they knew if they just talked, they'd say the wrong thing. He'd just say, I'll come back to you tomorrow. That was his way of doing it. So, yeah, hopefully that's made some sense. You know, I know it's been a bit of a stream of consciousness today. It's been a busy day for me in my life. Oh, life. A good day, but a busy one. And I hope that's, you know, I hope that's talked to you and hope you can relate. Hope you can pick something out of that just one thing that could benefit your life. Have an epic rest of your day. Thank you for checking out The Truth About Dyslexia. If you've enjoyed this episode, make sure you've subscribed on wherever you listen to podcasts. If you did like it and want to give me a review, I would super appreciate it. And thank you to all those who are sharing the podcast with their friends. This makes a massive impact to people living with dyslexia and other neurodiversities like ADHD. We've also currently got a webinar that's about to go live around dyslexia and confidence. To find out more about that, it should be in the show notes, or visit truthaboutdyslexia.com for more and to secure your place. We do have limited seats.